translation, those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Purport, there is no endurance of the changing body. That the body is changing every moment by the actions and reactions of the different cells is admitted by modern medical science, and thus growth and old age are taking place in the body. But the spirit soul exists permanently, remaining the same despite all changes of the body and the mind. That is the difference between matter and spirit. By nature, the body is ever-changing, and the soul is eternal. This conclusion is established by all classes of seers of the truth, both impersonalist and personalist. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that Vishnu and his abodes all have self-illuminated spiritual existence. Jyotinshi Vishnur Bhuvanani Vishnuhu. The words existent and non-existent refer only to spirit and matter. That is the version of all seers of truth. This is the beginning of the instruction by the Lord to the living entities who are bewildered by the influence of ignorance. Removal of ignorance involves the establishment of the eternal relationship between the worshipper and the worshipable, and the consequent understanding of the difference between the part and parcel living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself, the difference between oneself and the Supreme being understood as the relationship between the part and the whole. In the Vedanta Sutra, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme has been accepted as the origin of all emanations. Such emanations are experienced by superior and inferior natural sequences. The living entities belong to the superior nature, as it will be revealed in the 7th chapter. Although there is no difference between the energy and the energetic is accepted as the supreme, and the energy or nature is accepted as the subordinate. The living entities, therefore, are always subordinate to the Supreme Lord, as in the case of the master and the servant, or the teacher and the taught. Such clear knowledge is impossible to understand under the spell of ignorance, and to drive away such ignorance, the Lord teaches the Bhagavad Gita for the enlightenment of all living entities for all time. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, there is the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Om agyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama Shreshtham Manamapi Shachiputramatra Surupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuring Maturim Goshtavatim Radhakundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shigurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shiguru Shriyata Farakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavang Shasri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna raghuna tanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna padan Sahagarna lalita Sri Vishakhan vitam sha. In this verse, Lord Krishna is beginning his instruction to Arjuna on the nature of being, or tattva, Bhagavad Gita is Tattva Gyan. Krishna refers here to Tattva Darshibhi, those who are seers of Tattva, which can be translated, here Srila Prabhupada is translated as truth, it can be translated as being, can be translated as principle, the principle of, just like Jiva Tattva, the principle of the Jiva. Krishna begins this instruction by distinguishing between Sat and Asat. This distinction between Sat and Asat can be said to be the whole purpose of human life, the whole purpose of speaking Bhagavad Gita. Here in this context, Sat, it means that which is, specifically means that which exists eternally, which in this particular context means the soul, Atma. And Asat refers to that which does not exist eternally, which means matter. The soul is avikari, this word Krishna will use very shortly. Avinashi, avikari, avinashi, he uses indestructible. The soul is avinashi, avikari, and not subject to change. Whereas everything in this world is subject to change and destruction. So, this actually very simple, it should be a very simple point to be able to distinguish between that which exists eternally, and that which, can it be said to exist? In one sense, yes, in one sense, no. Like the foam which forms on the wave, or the wave in the ocean. Does it exist? Yes, otherwise you couldn't think or speak, or there wouldn't be a wave if it didn't exist. But does it really exist? It's so temporary. And what is it exactly? I mean, where does the wave begin? Where does it end? It's just part of the greater ocean. What exactly constitutes a wave? It would be very difficult to exactly define it. It's nebulous or vague. So these words Sat and Asat, they can be translated in other ways also. Eternal, non-eternal is the meaning given here, which means spirit and non-spirit, good and bad, proper and improper. There are various ways of translating or understanding these words. These words, in these two words, Sat and Asat, the two opposite terms, they have various usages or various shades of meaning which are all interconnected. So a tattvadarshi is one who can distinguish between the two. Now, you may say, well, why bring in other definitions here when it's very, very clear the context here? Sat and Asat, it refers to the permanent and the impermanent by the very definition given in the verse. The soul and the, and matter. Why even consider other definitions when the, definition is given here, right in this verse? But that may be done also. Apart from the context in which the verses of Bhagavad Gita are spoken, there's sometimes statements of Bhagavad Gita are taken out of context, acontextually, in order to demonstrate some other valid point. And an example of that is Srila Prabhupada quoting in his commentary to Sri Upadeshamrita, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, one's desires develop according to one's association, which is That's out of context from the way in which those words appear in the verse, because sangha here particularly means, it particularly refers to the meditating on the objects of the senses. But if those words are taken out of context, it may be done so validly by saying that one's, by any kind of sangha, from any kind of sangha, according to the sangha, the association one keeps, one's desires develop, which is a very important point. So, here, tattva-darshi, one who sees things as they are, he distinguishes what it means to be a tattva-darshi, the very definition of a tattva-darshi, is one who sees things as they are, one who understands what is eternal, what is not eternal, what is spirit, what is matter, what is proper, what is improper, what is good, what is bad. These are the symptoms of a tattva-darshi, which means that he's not just a philosopher. Darshan means philosophy. Tattva-gyan also means philosophy. These are two terms which are translated into English as philosophy. So tattva-darshi, they would think that would be translated as philosopher. But it means more than a philosopher. It means one who not only theoretically distinguishes, just like a scientist, they may distinguish between organic matter and inorganic matter, for instance. But it means someone who not just theoretically or mentally distinguishes between these pairs of opposites, but who lives according to that. There's no meaning to distinguishing between good and bad if one says, yes, this is good, that is bad, okay, I'll do the bad thing. Then it's meaningless. Tattva-darshi means one who distinguishes between what is proper and what is improper for the sake of acting in a proper way. We find in the Bhagavatam, it's described the asadgraha. What is that? Natevidu swartakatinghi vishnam durasha ye bahima. No, it's not the verse. What is that verse? It's one of Prahlad's instructions. Anyway, it said that the foolish people, they accept that which is asat. And therefore they get in so many problems. The whole problem of our existence is due to accepting that which is asat, that which is not beneficial for us. When we say good and bad, what does that mean? Good means that which is beneficial. Bad means that which is not beneficial. So due to having an opposite concept of life, people think that what is good for them. You see, good means, what does good mean? Something that's good for us. But if we identify ourselves as the body, which is asad, which is temporary, and the cause of suffering, then we think that what is beneficial for the body or the temporary mind, the temporary state of mind, that is sat. So we take sat to be asat and asat to be sat. We think that if I can get some sense gratification, that's very good for me. But it's not, it's asat. It's asat, it means it's temporary, it's in relationship with the body, which is temporary, and therefore it is not for our actual interest, but we take it to be so. So it's the an opposite concept of life, which everyone in this material world is in. Everyone is attracted to the temporary. Those who are seers of the truth, they have arisen up. Oh, that's another important another important meaning of sat and asat. Sat means true. Asat means untrue. Sat means real. Asat means false. So, to distinguish between this, that is also called gyan, or understanding of reality, tattva gyan. So this whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken to give knowledge of sat as distinguished from asat. Arjuna thought he was acting on the platform of sat. I will not fight. Nayotsya. I will not fight. But Krishna showed him that he's acting on the platform of asat. And in the end, Arjuna agreed, Karishye vachanam tava. I will do what you say, Krishna. So he comes to the platform of sat. But the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken to bring Arjuna to the platform of doing what is proper by understanding what is proper and going beyond our limited understanding of what is proper. So Krishna, it may seem, why did he, so much discussion about the modes of material nature and so many things. Why is that? Because to understand what is sat requires one to come to the platform of sattva. Sattva means, it literally means existence. So here we've, therefore sat means existence, asat means non-existence. So in, when we come to our existential position, our actual position, then sattvam sanjayate jnanam. When from sattva guna comes knowledge. Knowledge means the ability to distinguish between that which is real and that which is insubstantial. Such a person is called a tattva darshi. And the symptom of ignorance, tamagun, is ajnana. It's, Prabhupada translates this, tamagun, as the mode of ignorance. Means tama. Tamas means darkness. The darkness, ignorance. So everyone in this world is in ignorance because they do not distinguish between sat and asat. Everyone is in ignorance. So sattvagun, that is the highest. Tamagun, that is the lowest. And one's as much as one rises to the level of sattvagun, that is godly, because if one knows what is proper and what is not proper, he will act in a godly manner, because it's proper to act in a godly manner. Acting as such helps one, or is a requirement for distinguishing between sat and asat. If one acts in an asat manner, there's no possibility of understanding what is sat and what is asat. It's not like You can get a university degree. You can become the highly intelligent nuclear physicist or something like that. And also from time to time go to the pub. It's material knowledge. But for spiritual understanding, it requires purification of one's existence. Therefore we find that for the sannyasis, or the first quality of the godly persons, is stated, abhayam sattva sangshuddhihi, fearlessness, and sattva sangshuddhihi, Srila Prabhupada translates as purification of one's existence, or acting, always acting in a manner that is in accord with one's actual existence, acting always in sattva gun, not acting in a bestial manner. It means like animals, like low animals, not even nice animals, like a beast. So, in this Krishna conscious movement, those who are serious to be in Krishna consciousness, they are enjoined not to eat meat, not to drink wine, not to have illicit sex, not to gamble, to avoid all forms of activities that pollute the consciousness and thus severely impede or practically stop the possibility of one's being able to distinguish between spirit and matter. Of course, Krishna consciousness rises far beyond the level of simple discrimination between spirit and matter. Love of Krishna is not simply a philosophical exercise. But unless that discrimination is there, that basic discrimination and understanding and acting on that platform, then there's also no question of actually being in Krishna consciousness. And this is a great mistake that many pseudo-devotees make. They think, well, we just love Krishna. We don't need to understand all this Bhagavad Gita and all this. But they haven't actually risen above the platform of asat. And therefore, when they hear about Krishna, or they supposedly perform kirtan or whatever, it's not distinguished in their minds from that which is asat. They've never understood the difference. And therefore they take Krishna's activities to be something like those that they themselves would like to perform according to their contaminated consciousness. So we find here that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wants to teach Arjuna to distinguish between sat and asat, that which is eternal, that which is not eternal, that which is real, proper, true, substantial, spiritual, as opposed to the asat, which is not really real, only ephemerally real. Ephemeral means lasting for a very short time, like the wave in the ocean. Is it real? Well, when you see it, it's real. But the next, you know, after a few seconds, it's not there anymore. So what is real and what is unreal? That's a mundane example, because everything in this world is asat, including the ocean itself. But because the ocean has an appearance of eternality to us. If you're born near to the ocean, and from the beginning of your life you'll see it, and you know it was there long before you were born. And when you're old age, you'll see the ocean, and you know that you'll die soon, and the ocean will continue to exist for a very long time. So analogously, the ocean can be considered eternal, and the wave temporary. So this knowledge is required, and as much as one has this knowledge, one is considered actually intelligent. Anyone who is not Krishna conscious is a fool. You may say, well, how is that? You know, there's so many intelligent people. There's so many intelligent people in the world, but they are involved with the asat. They never thought to distinguish between that which is sat and that which is asat. Their intelligence is driven by the mode of passion, which is intimately linked with the mode of ignorance. Their intelligence didn't turn to the real important questions of life. They're simply fiddling around and examining and theorizing about that which is asat. They don't have the intelligence. It's not intelligent to apply one's intelligence to that which is insubstantial. That's also why Shastra always states that women are less intelligent. Well, why is that? You see, there are many very intelligent women in many ways. I mean, you see, there's the... although you do have to think about it a bit more. I mean, not compared to men, there are not that many, but there have been women who are heads of nations. Indira Gandhi. Here in India, Sonia Gandhi is the unofficial head of the country. No one ever voted for her, but she is very intelligent politician. No doubt, Sonia Gandhi. There have been women authors, very intelligent, no doubt. But nevertheless, women as a class are generally said to be less intelligent because the psychology which comes with the body is one that is desirous of home, wealth, jewels, all this kind of thing. That comes with the body because the woman's body is that which gives birth to the child. The woman protects the child and she needs all this home, wealth for the security for the child. But it's all asad. It has its purpose within this world, but the general psychology which comes with the woman's body is that which tends to bind one to this material world, to be interested in that which is temporary. So that is unintelligent, just like Einstein was unintelligent. You may say, well, why is he unintelligent? He's most intelligent man of the 20th century, so we're supposed to know. But he, again, very intelligent, but applying his intelligence to the wrong subject, to that which is asat. His intelligence may have sometimes wandered somewhere toward thinking about the metaphysical, but he was very much concerned with the physical. So real intelligence means to consider that instead of being so much concerned with the intricacies of what goes on in this world, to be concerned with the state of existence beyond this world. But persons who are unintelligent, they think that because we do not have direct perception of anything beyond this world, therefore there's no use in trying to understand it. It's extraordinarily unintelligent that we can only perceive this world, so we presume there's nothing beyond it. Whereas an intelligent person sees this world is a mess. It's miserable. I want to be happy. There's no happiness here. So there should be some state of existence which is eternal and happy, and to search for that. That is intelligence. However intelligently one may write novels, which is a stupid thing, however good the novel is, to write, you know, to make up some characters and have some imaginary adventures. It's a stupid thing. To write dramas about, again, non-existent people in non-existent situations, having non-existent problems which they attempt to solve. But it's all just simply imagination. Or to examine in minute detail how the atoms and the sub-atoms and the sub-sub-atoms, and then you find out there's no such thing as atoms and it's all waves, and then you're trying to work it all out. But it's all asat. You're just trying to solve the wrong problem. You know, it's like, you know, you're trying to work out why someone has a stomach mistake, so you analyze their stool. You're analyzing the wrong stool. you got the wrong stool. So, barking up the wrong tree. There's a saying in English. That the dog chases the cat runs into the copse where all the woods, where the trees are, runs up one tree and the dog goes under the tree and is barking up the tree, woo, 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 but the cat's up another tree. So barking up the wrong tree. Do you have that saying in your language? You don't have that one. In Russian, do you say that? There must be some kind of saying like that. There are all these sayings are everywhere. That's another asat. The people who think they're somewhat intelligent, they study the wisdom traditions of various countries, but they never get any real wisdom because it's all worldly wisdom. See, there are many worldly wise things one can investigate. So it said that old people are expected to be wise because they know, for instance, that just like, what is this, that verse? Rishir Shraddha. What is that verse? Chanakya gives the Rishi Shraddha. You don't take this Dampatye Kolaha Nasti. How does that begin? Prabhate Megha Gorjanam. Now I got three lines. I didn't get the first one. Anyway, all these things. Aja Yudhe. A fight between goats. Then the thundering of the clouds in the morning, the quarrel between the husband and the wife, and the rishi's shrad ceremony. So, and there's one more which I forgot. So it looks like something very momentous. The goats, they look like they're going to have a major fight, but it comes to nothing. The clouds thunder in the morning, seems like it's going to be a terrible downpour, nothing happens. The husband and wife are quarreling like anything, and after a few minutes they just forget it and life goes on. At least, used to be like that. And the rishi's shrad, you see, shrad, very good, shrad ceremony, let's go. Brahmins think, let's go get something to eat and some dakshina, some nice food, but the rishis, they just live on leaves, so... There's not much fun for a brahmana being invited to a rishi's shrad ceremony. So, bhavarambe laghu kriya. It's something very big in the beginning and something insubstantial. So a wise man means he understands these things. That someone may think in the morning there's a big thunderclap and think, oh, it's going to be rain. And the old man, because he's seen so many times, he knows... Nothing to worry about. So that is worldly wisdom, and there are wisdom traditions throughout the world. But it's all meaningless to know how to live in this world in a what may be called a wise way. Or what is the point if one cannot distinguish between the substantial and the insubstantial, the real and the non-real? Yeah, so as... The more one is in sattva gun, the more one is intelligent. The more one goes toward tamagun, the more one is unintelligent. The more one is in sattva gun, the more one is godly. The more one goes to tamagun, the more one is demoniac. So that is a symptom of the demons also. Grihitva. What is that? Grihitva sadgraham. The demons, as described, they accept, they're attached to that which is temporary. Therefore, they're also described as nashtatmanol pabuddhyaha. They're spoiling themselves. And they have very small intelligence. Again, you think, well, the demons have very good intelligence. They've built... There's so many engineering projects and schemes for cheating people, and they're very intelligent people. But they're all unintelligent because they accept that which is asat. So intelligence in Vedic terminology is not exactly, it doesn't mean the ability to manipulate this world. But it means the intelligence to distinguish between that which is substantial and that which is insubstantial, that which is real, that which is unreal, that which is permanent, that which is impermanent, and to act on that platform. So Krishna speaks to Arjuna. to make him intelligent. He's speaking apparently intelligently. But one who's an actual pandit, pragyavadang chabhasha, say, you're speaking as if you're a very learned person, but you're lamenting for that which is temporary. And nanu shochanti panditaha. Those who are actually learned, they do not lament for the temporary. So what is all these terms we should understand very clearly. What is actual intelligence? Why demons are called demons? They may seem to be very... They can often be very, you know, polite, sophisticated. They care about others, and therefore they make welfare projects for others. They're concerned, but it's all on the platform of asat. We're building schools and hospitals to help people. All on the platform of asat. It's all foolishness. Endeavoring in the wrong direction. So much endeavor. For what? For everything will be finished in due course of time. Whereas the achievement of a devotee is eternal. Someone may be a great conqueror or a great scientist, and their name may go down in history among other asat people. Their name may be remembered. Whereas a humble devotee, in his lifetime, no one cares for him. And he dies and no one cares for him. But Krishna cares for him and he goes to Krishna. So his achievement is actually unlimitedly better than someone who, they get their obituary put in the New York Times, that's considered like, if you can have your obituary published in a major newspaper, that's just like Steve Jobs died and it was like a major news all over the world. John Lennon got shot, I remember. Prabhavishnu Swami told me, he was reading the newspaper. He said, hey, John Lennon got shot. And so, shot dead, you see. So, famous, even now, they celebrate John Lennon's birthday or death day or something like that. His Avibhav, Tirubhav, whatever. Sing songs composed by him. But what's the use? He had some nice ideas, maybe give peace a chance, but it's only... It's meaningless, because he has no idea what is peace, what is the purpose of life. So actually such people, they pose as leaders of the people, and foolish people accept them as great prophets or great spiritual leaders or something like that, but all useless and meaningless, because they didn't get the first lesson even. They didn't even get the first lesson right. For all their spirituality or religiosity, they didn't even qualify for entering the first class, which is to distinguish between sat and asat. So, then whatever they do or say, it's all on the platform of asat. So this very beginning, discrimination. So these children who are, you know, genuine devotees, we can say, because you can see them falling asleep in class. All the symptoms of a genuine devotee. Of course, not the ones mentioned in Shastra, but that we observe all around us. So, they have to learn what is the difference between sat and asat, and to act on that platform. That is why they should not be sent to the rascal school. Run by rascals, for rascals, on rascal principles, with the solid aim to make every poor child who goes there into a first-class rascal. And even, you know, maybe a nice rascal. They may teach them also they have some semblance of teaching morals. But actually, school nowadays means you learn how to do all wrong things. Behavior-wise, it's expected when you come out of a school, you do all wrong things. And people, the parents, they don't even care. As long as they get their piece of paper, which gives the, that their child gets the piece of paper saying they passed, they got the, that's what the parents need to maintain their prestige in society, which is why they send their kids to the school. And in the meantime, if the kid, you know, the girl becomes pregnant and has 3 or 4 abortions and they're smoking, drinking and everything, that doesn't matter. So, these demoniac schools, so don't be enamored by this demoniac school. But what will our child do? He won't get a job. Let him struggle all life better. Let him not have any money. That's up to Krishna, whether or not. But if he can be Krishna conscious throughout his life, that is the great advantage. If he gets so much money, there's no advantage. Actually, devotees, if they're actually devotees, they'll be quite satisfied to live with as little as possible. And you will blame, you see, this boy could have been an engineer, and instead you just made him into some poor person who never has any money, but he should be quite content. Yeah, we prefer to be like this. We don't need all the useless things you have invented to make me into a slave that I have to work all my life to buy all these useless things which I don't need. So it's completely different outlook. The outlook of the sat outlook and the asat outlook, completely different. And they'll never understand. But why should we care what these people who are asat, what they say? In fact, whatever they say that we should be doing, we can take it as good instruction of what we should not be doing. So we can also listen to them. And then we can understand exactly what we shouldn't be doing by what they say we should be doing. Because it's just the opposite. They can also be back-to-front gurus. They're already back-to-front gurus. They're leading people back into where they came from, back into the animal species. So whatever direction they're going in, we'll just see which direction they're going in, turn around exactly in the opposite direction, and go in that direction, which is the direction that the acharyas are leading us in. And Hare Krishna. Any question, comment, or any such thing about all these subjects? No, all right. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.